welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning with an Old Testament story out of 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now, this is a story where this is David before he's King David, and he's actually, you know, still on the run from Saul here, and he's with his men, and they're going off into it. They're coming back to their hometown here, and it's a pretty sad situation. And the story picks up here. It says, 3 days later, when David and his men arrive home at their town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag, and they had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. And they had carried off the women and children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. And David's two wives, Ahinoam and Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Again, pretty horrific situation for David and his men. They're coming back home, and you come back home, and your home is burned to the ground, and your family isn't there. And it's not, of course, just David's family, but all of his men. And so they're in a very sad way. I think that verse really well describes it. It said, they wept until they could weep no more. That's a pretty sad situation. Of course, they don't know what happened ultimately to their family. We know from the scripture that they weren't killed here. But as far as they were concerned, they had just lost it all. And so it was a really tough situation. Now, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. So obviously David was grieving for his own family, but at the same time, you know, he's going to be the target of wrath for everybody's grief. They're going to take it out on him. And that's in a pretty scary, dark place. Of course, he didn't know this was going to happen. It's not like he did something that he knew was wrong and then it was a situation that he came back to, and it was just like tragedy. But we see something about David here that really shows us why he was a man after God's own heart. It says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. The word encouraged means to fasten to cleave to, fastening yourself to God, cleaving to God. And That's quite a situation, because obviously he didn't have anybody else to encourage him in the Lord at this time. They all wanted to stone him. So he decided, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. And he gave instructions, you know, to get the ephod and different things like that to begin to worship, to seek the Lord. But the astounding thing to me is the fact that in the middle of a situation like this, that he chose, in the face of how he felt personally about how he was experiencing the anger that was coming at him, that he could choose in the middle of that to encourage himself in the Lord. We have some great messages we like to preach about encouraging each other in the Lord and being a blessing and being an encourager. That's not this message. This is a message of encouraging yourself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's what I want to look at this morning, is simply encouraging yourself in the Lord. Do you know you can do that? You can encourage yourself in the Lord. You know, if you're around here, Door of Life, you know that a lot of times the Lord will speak to me in different ways, and I like to use different, it could be some movies or TV shows, different things like that. But one of the things that I've, you know, been able to enjoy, maybe some modern day parables and things like that, has been through watching some of the old Twilight Zones. If you've ever seen the old 1960 Rod Serling Twilight Zone, some of those little 30-minute, they're almost like parables. And so I'd watch those. We actually did a men's retreat once on some of the old Twilight Zones and kind of look at some spiritual allegory and stuff like that. But I was kind of having one of those situations. It was almost a bit like a Ziklag moment where I'm just sitting in my office chair and just frustrated and, you know, just sometimes you get those perfect storms like this and things going on and I'm just kind of half feeling sorry for myself and I just all of a sudden it was like I got one of these Twilight Zone revelations. And it was like I could see a premise of a plot for a Twilight Zone. And as I was, you know, if I've, you know, in my office, I've got two chairs. I've got my office chair that's in front of my computer that I do that work stuff, and then I've got my devotion chair that I got my Bible and that I have my devotion time and really have that sweet communion with the Lord time. So it's those two chairs. So I'm just kind of sitting in my office chair, kind of frustrated, and all of a sudden I just could like see a plot where I'm walking, where I see myself walking through the door in my office and sitting down in that chair, except it's me when I was strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Me when I'm strong and spiritual things are real and I'm excited and full of the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of sulking me, looking at strong me. You know how that is? When you're frustrated and you're down a little bit, and then some brother in the Lord comes along, all jacked up. It's like, oh, brother. It's like, oh. Kind of like Garfield and Odie sometimes. It's like, oh, gee. You know. But this is you. You know? And so it's not like, oh, they don't understand. When you can see yourself, and it's like, see, I can't tell me that I don't understand me, because I know. I've been me. And when I see the other me, when I see the other me, I know what that guy has also been through, and he's still happy, and he's still full of the joy of the Lord. It's a place. In other words, you're not so much offended by the person, you're offended by the place, because you're not in that place. It's like, ugh. But it's like I could see myself sitting in that chair, ready to encourage myself in the Lord. You encouraging you in the Lord. You know, you've been there. I don't care how down or frustrated you are. You've been at a place with the Lord where spiritual things are so real, you've said to yourself, I will never doubt again. It's that real. Experiencing things. And yet, okay, here we are. You encouraging you and the Lord. We're going to look at how to do that this morning. That no matter where you're at, I'm talking about you encouraging you and the Lord. I'm talking about that on fire, walking in the Spirit you, coming alongside you and talking to you, all right? Because that's happened before in Scripture. Even we'll find out here, even with David, the encouragement of past blessings. So here we see a psalm where David is walking in on himself, the same way I walked in on myself. David says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. I love this, you know. He is, it's like strong David is talking to cast down David. And he's saying, why are you cast down, oh my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Talking to himself in a good way, where he's encouraging himself. But you'll notice what he does here, and again, I just want to reiterate, the encouragement of past blessings. Because this is one way that he's going to encourage himself. He says, God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan. So when you look at one of the, we'll just take a quick look at how he did that. This is another psalm kind of along those lines. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, his mercy endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, his mercy endures forever. Who overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, his mercy endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. What is he doing? He's recounting the deliverance, the past deliverance of God. He's on purpose making himself remember what God has done in the past. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Look at what God did here and here and here. And I remember there was a movie done, man, back in the late 50s called Moses and the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. It was really the big epic film of the day. And I remember as a little kid watching that, and, you know, the special effects in the day were really amazing for what they were able to do. And, you know, the Red Sea splitting and just the plagues and all that kind of stuff going on. I mean, you'd see locusts and frogs and fire and just different things like the hail, and it's like the sea turning into blood and just all these amazing, miraculous, incredible things. And you're with these Hebrew children, and they're being persecuted, but they've got all these miracles going on around them and splitting the Red Sea. And it's like, wow, it's just amazing. Yes, they got free and they're out from underneath Pharaoh, and they go through the Red Sea, and then the Lord destroys Pharaoh and his army, you know, just took care of them, you know, that had been oppressing them for hundreds of years. They were gone. And it's like, yes, it's going to be like, now they can live happily ever after. They get to the other side, and with just in a few weeks, you know, Moses goes up on a hill to get some instructions from the Lord. Moses doesn't come down, and they experience some anxiety. They don't know what happened to Moses. They're not sure. Uncertainty. And before you know it, they were partying like the Egyptians. I mean, they make the golden calf. They fell into all that kind of horrible living of the culture that they had just come out of. And I remember thinking to myself as I'm watching that movie, thinking just literally out loud, Lord, how can people who've seen such amazing things in their lives, how can they forget you? How can they forget what you've done and just go off into that? And it's like, as soon as you say it, it's like, ah. You can feel the Holy Spirit saying, amen, Ed, that's a great point. How could anybody forget that? But you know what? You got to remember, don't you? You got to be intentional to remember. Like David said, I will remember you. And that's one of the ways that we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. We can remember what he's done. You know, we can certainly, you know, there's things that you can remember that can relate to, could be financial things where you were at the end and all of a sudden there was a provision and a blessing that came through at the right place at the right time. Could be something physical, healing in your body, where you remember, wow, I was in pain, and now I was blind, and now I see. I was in pain, and I don't have pain anymore. There's some things that your brain can't understand. You just go, thank you, God. There are those inflection points and those moments that we go, wow. You can on purpose go back and remember moments. You can remember times where you've experienced, encountered the presence of God. Could be a relationship where there was, you know, where there was strife and God healed and redeemed and brought something back together. It can be some of those beautiful things that, you know, I remember one of these times where I was just driving. You know, I was just a teenager, loved God, serving God, but I was driving and I was going down a hill and there was a truck in front of me, and the truck slammed on his brakes, and it was like a big semi thing. He slammed on his brakes and I had to slam on my brakes, so I went running into the back of him and I flipped into the next lane where there was an oncoming car. And I just remembered, oh my goodness, I'm in the other lane and there's a car and I'm still spinning, and all of a sudden I'm on the side of the road perfectly facing forward and that car zooms by. Now, I'm not that good of a driver or a trick driver or anything like that. It's like, wow, what in the world just happened, and I'm safe and everything's perfect. It's like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes you can have those moments, you know, and it's like, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I remember that. I remember that hand of protection. I remember your hand. I remember these moments where I could experience your personal hand on my life. These are powerful things to be able to go back and to rehearse. I have my my remembrances. I have my Red Seas that got split in two. There are some Red Seas he split in two in your life. There are some pharaohs in his armies he's delivered you from. What are those seas? What are those armies? You know, one of the things that has really encouraged me, and I'll just encourage you to do this too. If you ever keep a little journal or a little book of things that God speaks to your heart, you know, it could be something you speak into your phone even or something, any kind of where you're journaling something you got from God, go back and read those. You talk about something, a powerful way to encourage yourself in the Lord. I did that once too, where I was kind of down and I came across this book, this old journal, and I began reading that journal and going, wow, that's really good. That's really good. It's like, Ed, what's wrong with you? Look at this. Who is this guy? What is it? It's not just the content of the revelation. It's the place that you were in when you got it. It stirs up a place. Hey, I've been there before. I can get back there again. Nothing's changed here. No, I can get back there again. I can remember where I'm. God still loves me. Nothing's changed here. Praise God. He's the same God now as he was then. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's where my yesterdays, the blessings of yesterday, can encourage my today. He hasn't changed. He's still here. I can pick up right where he left off. His mercy endures forever. Praise God. His mercies are new every morning. There is a place in God where we can come back and say, okay, Lord, I remember you have been good. You've been faithful to me. And I'm going to just stir myself up. I'm going to on purpose remember those things that you've done. So that's just one way we can kind of stir some things up. Another way is the encouragement of just the present promises of God. Sometimes we just got to go back and we got to be able to look at what the scripture says with our eyes again. Not just what you theologically kind of remember about what you believe, but letting your eyes hit some of these words. What then should we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Praise God. So if God is for us, who can be against us? Sometimes when we're needing to encourage ourselves in the Lord, we got to simply remember the fact that God is for us. He is still for us. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. He's ever living to make intercession for us. It's a good thing to stir ourselves up and remember that fact that He is with us, He is for us, He is still for us. He is still, and I love the analogy, He didn't spare His own Son, delivered Him up for us all. That's what we were remembering at communion. Jesus paid that ultimate sacrifice. How much more will He not with Him also freely give us all things? That is just, to me, one of the great promises. Here is one. Let me just show you. This scripture actually continues on. Now, let me show you how I've done this wrong, okay? So I can show you how to do it right. Because I've done this before and said, okay, Ed, you got to go back to the Word of God. I go, okay. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? I'm persuaded that's right. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, things come, height, depth, any other creation should be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's right. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And I'm still like, all right, yeah, it's a good word, yeah, but when we're talking about doing this, we can do anything religiously. We can do anything in a way that just like checks a box, because when this happens, you do this. And I kind of got caught with that because I kind of know this. Okay, got to go back to the scripture, got to do this. But it's kind of, you look at this, it's like tilt. Your mind just goes tilt. Can't even keep up with that. And I did it, and I was kind of going through my exercise of the precious promises and going back here to encourage myself in the Lord. And the Lord just spoke to my heart, and He said, Ed, no. He said, don't let your mind tilt. Don't let your mind tilt. Go back and read that again, slowly, and let your mind go there. Okay? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ. Now think about what you're going through. Think about your Ziklag. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Letting that word get in you. Let that go there. What does that mean? That's talking about my stuff. That's talking about my situation. There is absolutely nothing that can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, in the same way, we've got to be intentional about going, be able to go back into the past and say, God, you did this. Thank you. You did this. I remember. These are real experiences. I'm going to encourage myself in what you've done in the past. The same way we're intentional about these precious promises that we have in Him. We're going back and saying, yep, okay, it's a whole new context, whole new situation from the last time, strong Ed in the Lord and the power of, you know, the scripture says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You can be strong in the Lord, you can be weak in the Lord, you can be weak in your faith. Strong, weak, and when that, when something has happened since the last time I was strong in the Lord, I got to remember, regardless of what that is, it can't separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. I can go back and say, yep, but this happened, but they did this, and then this situation happened. Yeah, sorry, I don't mean to be, I don't mean to undermine or make light or of what you're doing, but whatever you're going through, it is garden variety tribulation, distress, persecution, famine. It's not outside the scripture. Amen. It's not outside the provision of God. It's not outside the love of God. These are heart-wrenching, heartbreaking, I know, and that's what's addressed right here. It's talking to you. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, all who labor and are heavy laden. It's coming back to these promises, the same way we revisit the blessings, we revisit these promises. And again, I know this, I could quote this, memorize it, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about going back again and letting July 6, 2025 stuff come up against this word and say, you are still for me. Nothing can separate me from your love, Father God. I'm coming back to this word. I'm coming back to it. I'm letting this word dwell in me richly. I'm coming back to these facts. This is a great way that we see the Hebrew writer doing this. He says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Now, this is him talking. He says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, look at what's happening here. The Hebrew writer, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as he's writing scripture, he's remembering a promise. And he's saying, because of this promise that he'll never leave me nor forsake me, I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I won't fear. What can man do to me? That's the same thing that we can do too when we're encouraging ourselves in the Lord. We can begin to boldly say some things. Man, God, you're for me. Who can be against me? You're with me. I know it. I don't have to be afraid. There is nothing that can separate me from your love. This can't separate me from your love. There is nothing that your blood can't cleanse and wash and restore my conscience before you again. You are for me. If you are for me, who can be against me? There's nobody who can be against me because you are for me. What am I saying? He has said it, so I'm boldly saying it. When you begin to declare and begin to speak some things out, that's a powerful way that you begin to encourage yourself in the Lord. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You begin to hear yourself speak out some of those things. And this is really a powerful, you know, just promise along those lines too. Where in Romans, it says, who are you to judge another one's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Who are you to pass judgment on and censure another household servant? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he shall stand and be upheld, for the master, the Lord, is mighty to support him and to make him stand. Do you know, there are times, have you ever had times where he has made you stand? It's like you don't even want to stand, but he makes you stand. There are times it's like, but you can just tell he is staying with you. You know he's staying with you. He hasn't forsaken you. He hasn't forsaken you. He's making you stand. That's the way he is. You know, encouraging ourselves in the Lord is intentionally remembering these promises. It's going back to them. These are the words that begin to change our thinking. It begins to change our perspective. We begin to see that these promises are still true. But what I would just encourage is that these are things that you've got to make fresh. You've got to make now. You got to own them like just today. These are true. And as I said, I can know the theology of them, but it's when I begin to speak them, declare them, that that's when things will begin to happen. And so it's remembering those promises. But finally, I just want to talk about the encouragement of the future hope. I can look back at what God's done. I can look at the blessings that I have. But this is something, too, that especially in these last days, we've got to be realizing that we've got a reason to get strong in the Lord, to stay strong, to encourage ourselves, and that is our future hope. Here's a passage from Corinthians from the Apostle Paul. He said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. The message says, if all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. We got to remember the big picture here, too. We've been kind of talking about it this morning in worship. Jesus is coming back. He came the first time. That's what we celebrate Christmas. But he is coming back. He is coming back for us, for his church, for his bride, to rule and to reign with him. But we have, in other words, Jesus didn't just come down here to start up a religion that we're serving, to try to win a spirituality contest, to be a good little Christian. My life is bigger than that. Let me tell you what's out in your future. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed in the last day for all to see. Do you realize that we have an inheritance? We have heaven. We have something that is so amazing. Now, it's hard for us to grasp that. This is all we know. But Jesus died on that cross so that we could have eternal life. Isn't that an incredible thought? He died on the cross. We receive him by faith for something that is out there that we just know is out there by faith. And yet it is so great. It is so amazing. It is something that is worth enduring the here and now and the stuff that we're going through. This is how Jesus lived. Therefore, since we also are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, there was a joy that was set before Jesus that helped him to overcome stuff. Man, there's a joy and there's a hope and there's a thing. We have the same joy and the excitement and the anticipation of heaven that can help us to overcome things. To kind of go 30,000 feet and to just realize that, man, this is just a blip of our life. Do you realize that? We're all different ages here, but if I throw 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years at you, you're no longer here anymore. This is a vapor. This is tiny. The things that we're going through down here. And it's like these places, these Ziklag places, man, they can suck up that vapor of time. But we're down here for something greater. We're down here for something bigger. There is a joy. There is something that is set before us that is so exciting to live for. And the Bible says that the things that we do in the here and now, that he's going to reward us in that day. Now, it's not that I'm just like going for rewards, but you know what? Jesus said, go for rewards. He said, store up treasures in heaven. Live that way. He said, live that way. He said, what you do down here, he said, you are going to be rewarded for up there. The Bible says there's coming a day when God is going to, it's called the judgment seat of Christ, where he's going to reward you according to the things that you did down here. It's a pretty powerful thought. The things that we did in the body, that the stuff that we do down here when we're following after God, there's going to be a thank you that you get from God. There is a joy that is set before you, a joy unspeakable. I've got things that I'm looking forward to in heaven. I've got people that I'm looking forward to seeing in heaven. There's going to be some reunions. There's going to be just worshiping the Lord. There's going to be, you know, who knows everything. The Bible says we only know in part, but then we're going to know fully even as we're known of God. It's pretty exciting to think of what is set before us. A joy unspeakable, full of glory. Jesus put it this way. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Man, what an incredible expectation. What an incredible joy that we have. I love how Jesus, you know, when he was on the earth, he fulfilled the Father's will. And you can see at the end when he's praying to the Father, he said, Father, I finished the work you gave me to do. He said, now restore me to the glory that I had before with you. Why is that important? Because Jesus became one of us. Jesus was in a unique situation where he was in heaven, God in heaven. He became flesh. He did the earth life in the likeness of sinful flesh, walked around in our condition, got to the end of his mission, and then he looked up to the Father and said, okay, that's done. Now restore to me the glory that I had with you before. It's like he's saying, I've been on the earth in sinful flesh, and I've been in heaven. Being in heaven with you is better. He said, I'm ready to go back. I'm ready. And again, all we know down here a lot of times is just the natural stuff, the natural world. We get glimpses by the Spirit of God. But I'm telling you what, there is a joy, there is an excitement, there is an anticipation that we have in God. There is a future. And I love the way that, you know, that Peter puts it. He puts it as in the form of an inheritance. You know, a lot of times we think of inheritance just natural and natural things, but there is an inheritance that is a child of God that you have. That inheritance is heaven itself. There is a place for you that God has prepared for you. Jesus has prepared for you. Can you think of that? Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. Let not your heart be troubled. He said, when the last times, you know, in the end times, he says, men's hearts are going to be failing them. They're going to be having heart attacks for fear of what? Things coming upon the earth. He said, but when you begin to see these things happen, nation rising against nation, he said, you lift up your head. Your redemption draws nigh. You don't have to live in that fear. You don't have to live in the, you can encourage yourself in the Lord. You have a future hope. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back for his church. He's coming back for you. But realizing, you know, whatever that might be, whatever that Ziklag might be, whatever that situation you might be going through, these are just some simple little guidelines. You can go back and encourage yourself, those past blessings. You know, God's been good to you. He's done some amazing things for you. He's taken care of you. He's protected you. He's provided for you. He's spoken things to your heart. Go back to those places. Why so downcast, O my soul? Let your heart go back to those places. The encouragement of God's promises. I know that you might know them. I know you might be able to quote them. I know there might be nothing new here. Go back. Why? The word is living. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And when you just let your mind and your heart go back to those words and let them dwell in you, those words will speak to you. Those words will strengthen you. That's where the Holy Spirit in those words, the Holy Spirit in you will take those words and speak them into your heart in a special way. But you got to do that yourself, right? Man, that's something that you can do. And then just the encouragement of future hope. Man, I'm not down here to win a spirituality contest. I'm not down here to, I'm down here to do what God's called me to do. But man, I've got a joy that is set before me, the way Jesus had a joy that was set before him. And he kept his eye on the joy that was set before him to be able to get through the here and now. And praise God, it's okay. We can allow our minds and our hearts to go there and say, yes, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the inheritance that's waiting on me that you prepare for me. Jesus, that place that you're preparing for me. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you, Lord, just for the opportunity, just the ability to simply encourage ourselves in you, to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And I just pray, Father, that as we just do that this morning, as we just take some time to just reflect and think about what you've done for us, your goodness, Lord, to us in our lives, for the faithfulness of your word, your exceedingly great and precious promises, Lord. I pray, Father, that you will just minister to every heart in a powerful way. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness to me. You have been faithful to me. Even when people have been unfaithful, you have remained faithful. You have been good to me. You've taken care of me. You've protected me. You've provided for me. Thank you, Lord. I remember your goodness. I may not know how this is going to work out, but I know you're good, and I encourage myself. You're faithful. Your promises are true. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have an anointing who abides in me, the Holy Spirit who shows me and guides me into all truth. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your strength, for your wisdom. And thank you, Father God, that there is a place prepared for me. This is not my entire existence. This is a vapor of a beautiful inheritance that I am going to. I remember that inheritance. I let it encourage me. I let it inspire me. And I'm looking to you, Lord. And I receive that encouragement that comes from your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, let that word minister to you. Let that word speak to your heart. You know, again, you kind of talk about these things, and it's different for everybody, every person. But I'll tell you what, these basic truths are the same. No matter who you are, man, if you've been walking with God for any amount of time, you've experienced His presence, you've experienced His goodness on some level. These are things that you can go back to. Praise God. Words, promises, and just that future promise that we have in Him. Amen. Praise God.